Now, what we saw so far is that,
I think I put this on the board just before we stop, is that there's three levels of types of masim. All right, there are three levels of types of masim. There is kina b'shinoi, right? Remember, we're machmir double shinoi, and this is mutter across the board, right? Mutter in everything. And then there is tchina b'kli hamiyuchad l'kach, right? Using either a mortar and pestle or we discussed a rib eisen, I think. We mentioned a grater, and this is aser in everything. And the Mishnah explains it's obdin dechol, meaning even something which has a heter of toche, you're not allowed to use a special grinding implement. That's obdin dechol. And then there's the main category, right? Bikli mosakin, using something like a knife, right? That is, it's not a shinoi, but on the other hand, it's not a kli hamiyuchad l'kach. And this is, which is aser, unless you have a heter. So let's see if we recall what are some variants here. Aser, but what are the different cases that it's mutter? So the first case we saw was in Sefches, was ein tochen afer tochen. Right, something which was already ground up once, the poskim write that it doesn't actually have to be ground up once. Like, even if salt comes in crystals, as long as it was once in small pieces, okay, we're really going to say for example, one this about this, and pashup shot, right? That's the example here, he says, of salt or sugar, the Mishnah adds, salt or sugar that gets clumped, you can break it without a shinoi, not with a klin miyuchad l'kach, though. That's why the Ramaz Meduyik in Ches, what did he say? He said, let's read the whole Sefches. I don't remember if we did it last time. Kotin melech b'maduch shel eitz. You can't crush salt in a wooden mortar and pestle. Avol marasku b'yad shel sakim. You can use the knife handle. V'eitz hapara and a stirring spoon. V'eitz hachosh, no problem. That's b'shinoi. After Amav, v'dav melech agas. This is only salt like you when you mine salt. It comes in big pieces originally. Avol melech shel dach mitchila. But salt, I think when you evaporate salt, it starts as small pieces. And you cooked it, and then it became big pieces. You're allowed to cut it with a knife, just like bread. What's he saying? Bread was already ground once, salt was already small pieces once. You're allowed to dehochin them again, but not with a kli miyuchad l'kach. Notice the diok. He doesn't say then you can put in a mortar and pestle. He just says then you can use a knife, you could use this middle level of kli, which is not a shinoi, but not miyuchad l'kach. That's what depends, and one of the if you have a heter or not, and one of the terim is tochen after tochen. No, he's talking about no, because the Rambam makes it okay to the mechaber, which is we assume the mechaber would agree with that the mechaber is only talking about salt that started out big, right? That's what he says. But davke melchagas, the mechaber is right about salt that started out big, but salt that started out small is a heter of tochen. Achar Tochen. I mentioned to you that the Orcha Shabbos quotes, he quotes it from the Chazon Ish. I didn't find it in the Chazon Ish, but it's pretty much worse than the Egli Tal. That Tochen Achar Tochen is only if you can still see some remnant of the fact that it was once ground. Like when salt or sugar clumps together, you can still see that it's little particles. Or when you bake bread out of flour, you can still see that it's made out of little pieces. But he wants to be Machar and chocolate, which is like, you can't see at all that it was made out of little pieces. He wants to be machmir on that. Okay, not everyone agrees to that. But, and it doesn't really come up that much because it's pretty rare that people cut chocolate very finely with a knife anyway. Someone will get us a little bit of a breeze. But he wants to be machmir on that.
Rebbe said last week that the heter of the Orcha Shabbos by the Chazon Ish was something else, and it was that it can't go past.
Oh, that's a different issue. Right, sorry. That The Achronim also write, the Poskim write, Egli Tal was subject on this, but the Poskim write that when we have a Heter of Tovan Achar Tochen, that's only if you don't grind it more than it was originally ground. But if you grind it more than it was originally ground, that's Usser, in which case, you know, to take sugar and make it into confectioner sugar would still be Usser, because that's more than it was originally ground.
Okay, but that's not the Orcha Shabbos for the Chazanish, that...
Right, that's two different points. So here we have two different points that Yesh Machmirim be if you grind it more finely than it ever was before, and they bring rise to this, like, let's say you get more classic examples, you grind a piece of pottery. You file down a piece of pottery. So if you file down a piece of pottery, they want to say that's usher, even though it was once made out of a little piece of dirt, because that has been totally lost, and it's totally become a mass, which doesn't at all look like it was made of little pieces. So, pottery, chocolate, etc.
Is that mekubal even though it's not common?
What?
Is that a mekubal chumra?
I'm not sure, but it's not so common anyway. So I guess could that be macro if it never happens anyway, right? No, might as well. Okay, now we're ready to move on. Sif Tess has the Trumas Nesh. Remember what we do not hold as a heter, right? Let's review also what we didn't say as a heter. Not a. This is edible food. Remember, that was a heter according to Tosos, and the Rambam more or less said the same thing. He said something that doesn't need cooking, which is almost, you know, pretty similar to something that's edible. We did not agree with this heter. What other heter do we remember we did not agree with? Okay, that's more of a getter of what the. All right. Not edible food, right? We don't have a heter of edible food. However, says the Trumas Hadeshin, quoted in Siftes, Motel Achtoch Boshem Revush Lotzli Dak Dak Basachin. You can cut cooked or roasted meat very finely with a knife. Why cooked or roasted meat? Notice, he didn't say raw meat. He said cooked or roasted meat. Why? Because raw meat is not edible. Cooked or roasted meat is edible. So it seems to be a heter of Ochel. However, he obviously didn't mean to be not to edible foods, because in Sif Yud Beis, he asks chopping vegetables finely with a knife. So what must he mean? He must mean, I mean, we know what he means, because he quoted the Trumas Hadeshin, and the Trumas Hadeshin is very clear. What he means is Gedulei Karka, because it's Gedulei Karka. So says the Trumas Hadeshin, not Gedulei Karka, obviously, because it's Eino Gedulei Karka. The heter is Eino Gedulei Karka. Now, here's where it gets a little controversial. Perhaps I went a little too far because I'm biased as to the machlokas here. Eino Gedulei Karka. Here we have two versions of the Trumas Hadeshin. According to the Taz and the Gra, one second. Yeah. According to the Taz and the Gra, Stam Kol She'eino Gidulei Karka is mutter according to the Trumas Hadeshin, Ein Trina Elo Gidulei Karka. Right? That's how the Taz and the Gra understand. However, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura understand, and then the Bir Halachi is much more in depth about this. It's only em eino gidulei karka, or let me say it better. Only ochlin, meaning something edible. She'eino gidulei karka. No, the Trumas Hadeshin didn't mean to be make on all things that don't grow in the ground. Keep in mind, by the way, we saw machlokas where the meat the cows are considered to grow in the ground or not when it came to milking cows. Okay, but one of the things Mishmer says is, first of all, it's not even so posh that the cows don't grow in the ground. Remember, one sheet is that milking cows also to rice because cows do grow in the ground. They graze. I mean, obviously they don't literally grow from the ground, but maybe they're considered gedulei karka. But lemaisa, says the Mishmur, you don't have to worry so much about the fact that how can we have this heter? Don't some people say cows aren't gedulei karka? Because really, the Shemot Zadash, this heter is based on two factors. It's not gedulei karka, and it's edible. And that's very meduyak in the Mechaber, because he talks about cooked meat, and he doesn't talk about raw meat. Right? If he meant just the heter of any gedulei karka, he should have said raw meat. Since this cooked meat shot is that he means that it is it's a heter only because it's edible food, meaning it's halfway agreed to Tosos. Tosos, you thought all edible vegetables are much of the no problem tochein. I agree with you when it comes to edible things that aren't gedulei karka. The Ramah continues and he says, but you can't grind raw, you can't cut raw meat. Mention one other thing. Notice what the Mechaber said. You're allowed to chop it very finely. The diuk is, says Mishvura, and that comes out of explicit in the next sif, you're not allowed to use a grinder to grind it very finely. Because that's open the hole, that's always osur, even if there's no sort of tochein. That'll be explicit in sif yod. But says the Ramah, you can't chop, you can't, however, finely chop raw meat for birds. Meaning, he doesn't use an example for people, because people don't eat raw meat finely chopped. But birds do, right? Apparently, birds can't eat big pieces of raw meat. He's talking about small birds, right? He's not talking about eagles and vultures, right? He's talking about small birds that you have in your house. Maybe some, chickens. I don't know what chickens eat. Maybe chickens are vegetarian. Not sure. Whatever it is that is small birds you have in your house, whatever kind of small birds you have in your house, he says, those, they can only eat meat, if it's ground up. So he says, it's asur, holding yucholach lochitoch, since they can't eat it without chopping. Kamash le'ochel, you're making it ochel and si, lekamen simen shin chav dalet. Here, it's a little unclear what the Rama means, why he asurs, like, making it into food for the birds. And this is the machlokas here. Says the Taz and the Gra, what does the Rama mean about the bird food? Tez the Taz and the Gra, the Rama meant Aser Mishum Iser Acher Shel Ashvuye Ochel Libehema. There is another Iser Drabanan called making things fit for animal food, which is Aser Mishum Tircha Midrabanan Mishum Tircha. That's what the Rambam means, and that's why he said, look later on Shin Chav Dalet. What's Shin Chav Dalet about? Shin Chav Dalet is about Din Hachonas Machal L'Behema, and what's one of the shitas that's dealt with in the Gemara that's quoted in Simon Shin Chav Dalet is the shita that you can't make something edible for animals on Shabbos. Because that's too much work. You should have made it, you have to make it edible for the animals before Shabbos. Okay, the problem is, Then we have a problem. What's the problem? The problem is Kaimelon b'simin shin chaf dalid dimutter la'ashvuye ochel lebehema. We actually hold in shin chaf dalid that it's mutter to make something edible for animals. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. One man in the Gemara says you're allowed to make food better for animals, but not to make it edible because that's too much work. The other bin, he says you're allowed to make it edible for animals because poor animals star balichayim. But you're not allowed to make it better for animals, because that's tircha for no reason. We possibly have the opinion that you're allowed to make things edible for animals, because we don't want the animals to be hungry on Shabbos. They also have Shabbos. Rather, you just shouldn't make things luxurious for animals, because, okay, luxury they don't need. So then the Rambam doesn't make any sense. He's saying an issur that's not true, which is why the Mishnah quotes in Sifkatan in... Oh, sorry, I'm still on Shabbos. I'm back to where we were. In... Some people are makel in there, for they reject the Rama, and therefore, really, should be mutter against the Rama. That's the derech of the Taz and the Gra. However, that derech is difficult because then the Rama himself doesn't make sense. The Rama knows Shin Chav Dalet. He's in Shin Chav Aleph. He knows what's going to be in Shin Chav Dalet. He knows Shulchan Aruch anyway. So one second. So what is the Mishnah Berurah saying? The Magen Avraham mentioned that a little later. It says the Mishnah Berurah, and the Bir Halachi is very convinced of this. He says, no. It is
Aser Mishum Tochein. That's what the Ramah means. The Ramah means if it's not edible, it's Aser Mishum Tochein. Kevan She'eno Nechal Beli Tchina. Right? Havi Kisilka. The loc, or actually, it's a bad example. Kevan she'eno nechal b'li tchina, ein heter. Remember, the heter, the trumas adeshin, this is pashim shad, and trumas adeshin, is only if it was not completely karka plus edible. Over here, it's not edible yet. Raw meat's not edible. Why is it not edible? People can't eat it, birds can't eat it. Even though dogs can eat it, but this is talking about a kind of meat that you don't feed to dogs, you only feed to birds. And therefore, that's why there's no heter. Vigam yesh man de amar de lo kaimalon kavase she aser mishum ashvuye ochel le behema. That's where I'm at it. It's aser because of tochein, because it's not an ochel. Can I mention, see in Shem Chav Dalet, there's also a don't worry, don't pass like, because that's the second reason why it's aser, and that's not the important part. The important part is that it's aser mishum tochein. The maisa we hold like the Mishnah Brura. We don't like the Mishnah Brura, that this heter of the Trumas Hadeshen, and this is Pashup Shad in the Trumas Hadeshen. I'm a little afraid to say that, because the Gra, he said, thinks that this is not Pashup Shad in the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Gra is usually Pashtun, but I thought this is Pashup Shad in the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen says, no, it's only mutter to chop up things that are edible that are not Gedulei Karka, because those are not at all like the case of the Mishkan. And then I thought, it's Pashup Shad in the Trumas Hadeshen, and he says, and for the birds is Aser. Why? For two reasons. Number one, because it's tochein, so it's not edible yet. And number two, there's also a man d'amar that's also because of Ashur Yuchla, which we're not getting into that sugya now, maybe we don't pass it like. So I thought the true possession was very important, like the Mishnah Brura. Okay, if you want to see the other side, you can look at the Gra, but we pass it like the Mishnah Brura on this. You just give me half a second, Nathan. And that's what Mishnah Brura says in Lamed Gimel, that... it's in Lamed Aleph, he says, as much as not to do likarka, and it's already edible. And then in Lamed Gimel, he says, and that's why it's a problem for the birds, because it's not edible. One thing the Mishnah Brura adds, and then I'll take Natan, is, says the Mishnah Brura, and maybe Lamed Beis, he says, however, if it's edible for most people, that's good enough. It doesn't depend on that particular person. Right. Add the Mishnah Brura. But, says the Mishnah Brura, if it's edible what's the proper preposition here?
It's edible for
If it's edible for most people,
yes.
Then it's mutter for everyone.
Most people doesn't include animals?
No, he's talking about like within people, let's say. If it's edible for most people, like for example, even this, remember the old days, old people didn't have teeth? They hadn't invented dentures yet? So if it's edible for most people, then you can also grind it for the old people. This heter applies as long as it's edible for most people. Nathan, thank you for your patience.
Sorry for interrupting. The tircha, maybe this is like beyond the scope of the share, but it seems like the things that seem like the tircha don't seem like tircha to us. We're tircha to them. Shabbos isn't really about not having tircha, so I'm not doing malacha. Because tircha could just be any time I'm sweating. So do we say that every time you sweat, do something that's hard work, it's us? Like, you know, just...
That is a great question. Clearly, Chazal Aser tircha and Shabbos. Why did Chazal Aser tircha and Shabbos seemingly having nothing to do with the lamitas malachos? So the Ramban famously says, you know, the Machlokes Rambam and Ramban about the mitzvah say of Shabbosom, Tishbos. The mitzvah say Shoves on Shabbos. The Rambam writes that mitzvah say is the same as the lav lo sasikom malacha. Just to teach you, if you do want to turn on malachas, you buy a little lav and the nasei, not just a lav. The Ramban famously says l'shitase, what he says by kedushin tiyu and by v'yasisa yashar tov. I didn't observe this Lashitase. The Ramban writes that he's Lashitase. Not our Kiddush. He says that no, Lo Sasim Malachim is not to Thirin Malachos, but you can still have a workful Shabbos, So Shabbos means to rest. We all know what it means to rest. Like, don't find ways to work without the 39 Amos Melacha. That's what the Ramban, don't be a novel which is a Torah of Shabbos. Right? That's what the Ramban says. And therefore he says, a lot of the Yisurim, the Rabbanan, were really just the Isidore, the Mitzvah, say, the rice of Shabbos, all that the Rabbanan gave concrete examples of, so that you would know what are good examples. But the Ramban would say, in a Hanami, anything that is a real Tirchan that's work-like on Shabbos, is an Isser Asay Midoraisa of Shabbos. But since people don't necessarily know all the examples, so Chazal gave us a few rules. But I think you would say, let's say you're clever enough to get around the 39 Malachas and get around all the examples of the Rabbanan and still work on Shabbos. You say that's still not Shabbos. Now, there are people who do that nowadays. I don't know. Okay, I'm not getting into this. Shaila, I always never like the end of Halachal Maisha Shaila of saying what people do are wrong. There are people who work all Shabbos. I don't mean like rabbis who joke that they work all Shabbos because they have to give a sermon in shul. Alright, that's not working. That's, anyone knows real rabbi. Their biggest hanah and oneg is to hear the sound of their own voice in public. But like, you know, people are waiters, whatever, they just go every Shabbos and work like a dog all Shabbos and don't do any 39 malachas and don't even do anything chazal said or us for Shem Tirecha. Another Ramban might say they're violating an assay every week. Working on that. Okay, it's more complicated. We'll leave it for now. I still didn't answer your main question, which is, you know, how do we jive all the Yisurim that Rabbanan made in Tircha with all the situations that come up nowadays?
I mean, like, it's not necessarily as Tircha now. For that, we should have our own kind of Tircha.
Yeah, probably we should use our common sense.
And ask, like, if Chazal says something is Tircha and it's not Tircha to us,
Yeah, okay. So, Lemaisa, you know, the poskim don't answer things in Shem Tircha that aren't in Chazal, but based on our mind, you should use your common sense. Go back to the waiters, etc. You might be Michalik. What if it's something that needs to be done for Shabbos needs of people, etc.? Maybe that's different. Maybe the Ramban didn't mean if you're serving Shabbos meal to people, because someone has to do it. But certainly, you can all imagine cases where the Ramban would apply. All right, but still a good question, and we're going to have to maybe come back to it. Now, let's go to Sif Yud. Aser Ligur Hagvina B'Shabbos Memorik Choritz Bal Pipiot Shekorin Ralyo. That is what the Mishnah Berurah says, a ribbis in Yiddish. And I never knew what a ribbis was in Yiddish until one Pesach. Probably because of my family, we never use a ribbis except for Pesach. You know, in Pesach, sometimes you do things more old-fashioned because you don't own all of the fancy electrical kalim just for Pesach. So in my family, in Pesach, we make a certain dish, potatoes and meat, etc., kind of chulent, quote-unquote. And eventually, well, some point in time, we did buy something more, you know, electric food processor, whatever, for Pesach, but still, the Masorah of the family, this had to be made the exact same way. And my grandmother said, okay, let's get the ribeisen. And she took out a hand grater. It's just like one of those graters, that metal thing with all the little, like, holes, sharp holes in it, that you go, and you grate things. That's a ribeisen. So it means a grater. So, says the Shulchan Aruch, you can't grate cheese with a grater on Shabbos. Why not? Cheese is something that doesn't grow on the ground that's edible, like meat. The answer is, because even the things that were matter yitochen were not matter to use. A kli yuchad b'tchina, because that is like an ovda d'chol. Okay, now, I'll point out some examples in the poskim that might be a bit mechudish as to what kalim go into which category. The Mishnah Berurah here quotes the Magen Avraham, Diyuk from the Gemara. What about chewing food to grind it up? Right, in the old days, notice, anyone learn Bas Bar Chalav last year? Remember they discussed in the Siman of Waiting 6 Hours? In Siman Pei Test, they discussed Lois Latinok, whether you have to wait 6 hours or not, and they made that in Nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam. Lois Latinok means you chew meat for a baby, right? Nowadays, how do we feed a baby? You can't feed a baby things that have big pieces. They'll chas v'sholem choke. So nowadays, no, I'm saying when they're ready to start on solids. So nowadays, we grind it, right? There used to be something called magic milk. When I was a kid, it wasn't actually magic. It just meant you took food and you grate it into little pieces for a baby. That's how they make baby food. I mean, now, even if you buy it in the store, in Gerber or whatever, they make it by grinding it up. So, in the old days, how did they grind up the food for the babies? They would chew it and then spit it out and give it to the babies. They were more real in those days. So, that was a way of grinding things in the old days, was to chew them.
I'm not sure we use that way of grinding so much nowadays because we're much more machmed on germs and things like that. Can't remember the last time that I ground something up by chewing it. Although I'm sure there's still some things that people do that with nowadays. But anyway, says the Mishnah Berurah here, even though like maybe nowadays we could have thought otherwise, he says, no, chewing is in the middle category. That's like a knife. Clearly, it's not a kli on the yuchad l'tochen. I mean, your teeth actually were created by God for the purpose of tochen, but that's not a kli on the yuchad l'tochen because it's just your teeth that you eat with, right? On the other hand, it's not like the handle of a knife. The handle of a knife is really strange. This is a normal way of chopping things off, like a knife. So, included in this, including chewing, therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, you can't chew, for example, raw meat for the birds, let's say, because it's something which is not permissible to grind. Anything not permissible to grind, it doesn't count as a big shinoi. He says it's a small shinoi. Chewing is definitely a small shinoi. It's not a walk of the raisa, but it's not as big a shinoi as a knife handle. So this is a normal thing that people used to do in the old days sometimes, and therefore that is in the middle category. Another example of something in the middle category, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, is an egg slicer. What's the chiddush? Egg slicer is interesting. If you use your egg slicer once, does that grind your egg into little pieces or not? No, it makes big slices. What if you use it three times and you rotate it another direction each time? Then it chops your egg into little pieces, right? So, is that a kli hamiyuchad l'tochen or not? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, no. Because if you use it once, it's not for tochen. Only people who want to use, like, lots of, you can use it to slice eggs. Only if you want to use it to dice them into tiny pieces, you can. But it's not considered like a grater because its initial function is just to slice the eggs. And many people use it, most, probably more people use it just to slice eggs. So it says Rav Shlomo Zalman, this is the Mishnah Berurah, this is the Chiddush L'Chumra. That chewing is not a shinui. Chiddush L'Kula is Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa, according to Shlomo Zalman, an egg slicer. Don't think it's a kli amiyuch. Therefore, what does he say? You can even use an egg slicer to chop eggs into tiny pieces. Why? Because eggs don't grow in the ground, right? They come from chickens, and they're ready to eat. They're hard boiled, right? So therefore, you're allowed to chop them with a knife, but not with a grater. How about using an egg slicer? He says, fine. Oh, the egg slicer excellently, professionally slices it. Dice it into little pieces, just you turn it one way, the other way, and the other way. So, but that's not a kli yuchad l'tchina, because it could be used for slicing also, not only for dicing. Okay, so that's the chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman. One issue that comes up a little later, I might as well mention it now, even though it comes up at the end of Sif Yud Beis, is the hakmesser. Remember the hakmesser? What's a hakmesser? Nothing to do with the ribeisen. It's a chopping knife. You notice in knives, there are cutting knives and there are chopping knives. What's the difference between a cutting knife and a chopping knife? Then most of our kitchens were not such fancy chefs. So if you go to a restaurant, a cutting knife is shaped like we imagine a knife is shaped. You know, it has like a long, a cutting knife, like here's the handle. And then, you know, like a normal knife blade, right? That's a regular knife. You could use it for cutting or chopping. But a chopping knife is different. I'm sure you've seen these. I mean, the handle. I'm not making the handle long enough. The handle has to be longer. Right? Those are chopping knives. Like, it's a big rectangle, and you can't use it to cut things. You can, meaning you can't go like this with it. You can only use it to chop. And like butchers have it, and fancy chefs have these special knives. It doesn't matter what size they are. The point is they're rectangular instead of like a long blade. Those are special knives for chopping that are not used for cutting. You understand, because you can't go back and forth with them. You can only chop up and down with them. That's a hakmesser, a big chopping knife. A hakmesser is a big chopping knife. Says the Mir Halacha, he's not sure if a hakmesser is a kli am yuchad l'tochen or not. On the one hand, it's meant for chopping. It's not just meant for cutting and you use it for chopping. On the other hand, And it's used to chop things into very small pieces, hakmesser. On the other hand, it's not like a grater or something. It's just a knife. It's not like a grater, which is like mamish, a grinding implement. It's just a knife. So the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha Masupik, in the Mishnah Berurah himself, he says a chopping knife is a kli amiyuchad l'kach. However,
The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, a chopping knife is just a kind of knife. And it's in the middle category. Nafkamina is not, can you chop up cucumbers very finely with a chopping knife? Because either way you can't, right? Either way you can't chop cucumbers. The nafkamina is, could you chop up cheese or hard-boiled eggs or meat very finely with a chopping knife? Or bread, right, which is already ground once, so ain't token after token. Nafkamina is one of those things can use a chopping knife. So the Mishnah Berurah says no. The Aruch HaShulchan says Rav Moshe, who I put on here, the first Rav Moshe here, says it's really much like the Aruch HaShulchan, but yesh lahachmir, if you can, unless you really need to. So says the Rav Moshe, yesh lahachmir like the Mishnah Berurah, if yesh lahachmir like the Mishnah Berurah. If you can. You know, if you don't need to be makeup.
Is the problem that you're gonna come to chop too finely? Like if someone understands.
No, this is talking about chopping finely. It's only talking about chopping finely. Then it's fine. Then if you use a knife to chop finely, I don't think there's any issue at all. I don't think it's any issue at all if you don't chop finely. Because that's not a maisa tochein at all. I think you're even allowed to use a kliyam yuchad kach. I think it's pashut.
And on yantif, this as well as egg slicer, those are mutter, or
that's a great question. A real kliyam yuchad kach on yantif is only mutter for things that would not be good if you did them before yantif. Or that would even significantly not be good if you did them before yantif. So I'm not sure exactly. What?
Did you ever say we're mingled with an egg slicer?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But an egg slicer is not necessarily like a hackmesser, because it's usually used to just slice eggs. While a hackmesser is usually used to dice things very finely. Meaning, you usually use a hackmesser to dice finely, because the chav of the hackmesser is that, if I understand correctly, is that, like a regular knife, you're medayik. Like, you want to cut slices, you use a regular knife. You don't use this. This is like, right? Like, you can't aim well. So, if you actually want to cut regular pieces, you want to aim well. But if you just want to dice, then you just dice until it becomes tiny pieces. That's why I think a hackmesser is considered clean yoke of the boger. Again, we don't use hackmessers in our regular kitchens nowadays, but professional chefs do. Like, I don't know, I've never seen a hackmesser in my wife's kitchen. Used or lying in the drawer collecting dust, neither. But I think chefs have them.
I think we have them growing up.
Okay, great, excellent. You had a rib eisen too? No, everyone has a rib eisen. I have a rib eisen. What do you have? I have a rib eisen for grating cheese, right? Because the food processor's inflation. So the rib eisen is for grating cheese. Now, where were we? here we are. Okay. Sif Yudbeis. Yud Aleph, we didn't put on the cross. Motel Hashkaz, Atolish Kadesh, Shalom Yichmosh. That just means if you have vegetables that are already picked, you're allowed to water them so they stay fresh. That's not a malacha, but that has nothing to do with Tochein. It's just here, Agav Orcha. Yud Beis. And the post can also say that's only if you want to eat them on Shabbos. Otherwise, you shouldn't be preparing for Chol. Yud Beis. Machatagir, Dakdak, Chayvishom Tochein. Here's what we said, that A, we don't hold from the heter of Ochlin. Even yerek, stam yerek is something edible. If you chop it, it's an issur d'oraisa of tochein. And B, if we're asking about the geder of tochein, not the chetza of tochein, but the geder of tochein. So what do we see? We see that actual grinding is for sure tochein. Chitoch. Dak is a machlokas rishonim, and usser, not only usser, but chayev, right? That we saw with machlokas rishonim. I mentioned that yesterday in terms of the part last time in terms of the part soka and v'kaimalan chayev, right? So what? That's what we just said here. What's left to be mutter? What's left to be mutter is if it's not dak. What? Less than dak? Dak! Right? Is mutter al pi din,
Because that's not Tolkien at all. And that would be Mutter even with the Hakmesser, because it's just not Tolkien at all. There's nothing to talk about. However, says the Mishnah Brewer here, quoting, I think, the Ureya in Bir Alacha, quoting the Ureya, and says, Avalin in Issa, Shizorba, over there, the Kosovo Savior, Rain, Lower Reloz, Remits, the Sheer, Dakus, Alono, Dalano. We're not sure exactly what's the line between Dak and Dak Dak. So, Lemais, the Mishnah says, don't cut a Dak, because it might be Dak Dak. How do you know the thing Dak and Dak Dak? So, quotes in the Beis Yosef, that therefore.
You just can't tell me.
No, well, I'm going to turn the X to goose. I know. Says the Beis Yosef, and the meaning this is not a chumra meant by the Berlach, this is the Beis Yosef, right? Make it not even dark at all. Right? No, that's what I meant to say. Mutter Lemaisa, and who says that? The Beis Yosef and the Bir Halacha and the Achronim say, Dak Dak is also Doraisa. Dak is too hard to draw the line between Dak and Dak Dak. You're walking at the edge of a cliff and you might fall off, so don't cut it Dak. Instead, cut it a little bigger than Dak. And if it's a little bigger than Dak, then you know that you're okay.
We don't know what Dak is in the first place.
So now the question is, it's a never-ending cycle, right? Now, we don't know the difference between Dak and good old Zas.
Oh.
Like, what's the getter? So, I promised to find you good mucker in that, and I found a good summary of this. Could I just have a volunteer to hand these out? The best summary of this is in the Dershu Mishnah Brura, Simen Shin Chav Aleph, footnote 59, quotes a fundamental machlokes achronim as to what you can lemaisa do on Shabbos. Okay, someone would be in charge of take the extras and put it in the box in the base measures. Footnote 59, you see it?
Yeah.
Says, Shir Chatilus Gdolus Ksas. So what's Taka Mutter? So Chazanish writes, Chatilus Gdolus Yosu Mashinogin Lachtim Yosachol, a little bigger than the weekdays, I'm reading 59. Now, again, Isaac will say, bigger than what during the weekdays? Meaning, obviously he doesn't mean if I make big carrots, put nice big chunks of carrot, I can make them bigger than the weekdays. He means bigger than the smallest way you chop on the weekdays, obviously. Right? Which means that as long as you're making bigger than a really small salad, a really finely chopped salad on the weekdays, that should be okay. Right? So if you think about it, let's say I have a tabbouleh salad. Is that something you chop very fine?
Yeah.
Right, what is tabbouleh made of? Things you chop?
Whatever the skin, yeah, little green things.
Wheat, no?
No, but I thought they also put in other things.
It's like parsley, I think.
Whatever it is. Anyway, they're like small salads where you chop mama small pieces. And as long as it's bigger than that, it's okay. And then he quotes from Das Rosh Shlomazam and Orbach, Shekot starts Litchon Zavach V'Shinayim Zanechshada. If you need to chew it, it's not Dak Dak. Meaning the gedder is that as long as you need to chew it, it's okay. So just cut it big enough that you still need to chew it. If it's so small that you just swallow it, you could swallow a lot of things about chewing them if you want it to be disgusting. But I mean, like, in course of normal people, there are some things that are so small you don't have to chew them. You just swallow them. Then there are things that you have to chew, like regular salad that most of us make at home, Americans make. You always have to chew the pieces. So then that's fine according to the Chazon Ish, because I think it's definitely bigger than the salads Israelis make. And that's fine according to Shlomo Zalman. That's likewise fine according to, if I can go a little out of, okay, it's also fine according to the Or Litzion at the end of this, who says that that the way we chop for salads is no problem. It's only people who make things very fine that's a problem, but salads, no problem. So the Chazon Ish, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and the Or Litzion, and Tzion Abishol all say, mainstream halacha, salad is no problem. However, in the second paragraph 59, he says, Me'idach, das gomer nisim karelitz, lechot shani, Shashir Dak Dak in Utoli Mashal Akrachito Hitzarhaday in the Tokh of Lisa's Pivish Asahila, meaning he read Rosh Lomazam, Shir Shabbos of the Chassid, and responding to him by arguing. Shemikovach and Yachito Harek Shashiro Lachila Kadersha Ochno Sova Chadilos Kitanos. What did the Chotshani say? He says, you know what's Osir Kut, you know what's Dak, and maybe Dak Dak? And what's gadol ksas? Gadol ksas is when you still see each piece separately. But when you eat it as a mixture of pieces, then that's considered too small, and that's a chash of toching. According to the chutzani, it really sounds like, if you're making it into a salad, so what's the chap of a salad? The chap of a salad is that you don't eat each piece. It's just a big conglomerate. It's a new kind of Michael. It's not pieces of carrots. It's a salad, right? You can slice a cucumber into slices, and that's slices of cucumber. Or you can make something so small that his gedder is that you eat a lot of them together as a conglomerate. That's what tochen is, right? You take the wheat and you make it into little things, then you bake them together. So according to the Chutzani, it would seem that even regular salad is a chash of dak or dak, because you're making it into small pieces that you can then make a new thing out of called a salad that you eat. You don't eat each piece of the salad separately. Like, no one eats one piece from the salad. The whole point is it's too small to be mashed of each piece. It just comes together into a new recipe called salad. He says, that's the difference. You make a vegetable platter, he says, that's not a chash of tocheng, because each piece is its own piece. But if you make a salad, at least most salads, no, the whole chap of a salad is that you're mixing all the pieces together, and that each piece has no chashivas in and of itself. That's a gedder of tocheng. When you make the piece not chashiv in and of itself, just an ingredient in something else. That's a chash of tochin. So according to the Rav Karelitz, according to the Chutzani, regular salad could be a chash of tochin. You have to cut your salad extra big on Shabbos. According to all the other poskim, regular salad is not a chash of tochin. Tochin is only people who make very fine salad. What do I mean by regular salad? That's always a problem when you say regular something. Like, everyone has a different idea of regular. I mean, I don't know, in my house, like, the regular pieces of salad are, and they're thicker, but they're like a little smaller than a shekel. You know, that's a regular piece of salad. I don't know, anyone have anything here that's that size?
So Chutzani wouldn't call it like making Israeli salad, for example, on Shabbos?
Right, you have to make it special for Shabbos, extra big pieces. however, that is not the mainstream opinion in the poskim, and I think the Minhag HaOlam is to make salad on Shabbos. What I would say is, just to be machmer, because we want to be a little extra nervous about these things, and because no one has a clear getter, proper chumra would be to make your salad, meaning the really small piece of salad, those I think are for sure a problem. Sometimes you like really tiny pieces of salad, like mamas, you don't chew them. Those I think are for sure a problem. But the regular Israeli salad, our pieces are a little smaller than a shekel in height and width. They're deeper than a shekel, of course. Those kind of pieces, I think, are no problem according to the mainstream psak. To be machmer, just make it louder, and then it's mutter according to most poskim anyway. So then you have it's probably mutter louder, and even if it's not mutter louder, it's probably a big piece anyway. Or the other way around, it's probably a big piece, and even if you want to be closer like Rafaelis, that's a small piece, it's probably mutter louder. So that would be a good chumrah to make a pshara. So in terms of practical guidance, just one second, practical guidance, regular salad pieces, me'ikra din, rove poskim, are not dak or dak, those are gadol ktsas, regular pieces of salad. Not like finely diced onions. Finely diced onions, people cut pretty small. But I mean regular pieces of salad. Like cucumbers and tomatoes and red peppers that people make into pieces this size. That's maybe Rav Karelitz would be machmer, but no one else would be machmer. And so that's mutter. And if you want to be machmer, do it la'alter. But I don't think you have to refrain from doing it.
So, according to Rav Karelitz, the Indian of dak is specifically is whether or not you would eat it with something or on its own versus as part of a greater whole.
Exactly.
So, what would he say about spaghetti, for example, where no one would eat a certain string on its own? They eat it as a mixture of everything else, but it's clearly long and.
First of all, you're talking about
the
also.
The Indian definition of the.
No, I think if you cut spaghetti. Let's say you cut your piece of spaghetti in half or in thirds or in quarters.
Yeah.
No, that's each piece is still. I know you eat a lot of pieces of spaghetti together, but it's not coming together to make a new dish the way salad is. It's just it's too big to fit in your mouth. That's if I cut a apple into slices, I like to eat in slices, then that's not toching.
So I'm not making it into something new, that now it's small and can be combined to make a new thing. Nah, spaghetti is small, it fits my mouth, but it's still the same spaghetti. As opposed to, I cut the cucumber into little pieces. Why? Because I want to make something called a salad out of it, a new thing. And it's only called a salad if I have small pieces, meaning what makes it a salad? He says, I have such small pieces that when I take a spoon or a fork full of them, I get all the different ones mixed together. That is token, because you're really making a new thing out of it. That's the Chutzai's getter. You know, it's a possible getter, but it's a big chiddush, and we really don't hold like that. So people who make regular salads, regular Israeli salad on Shabbos, is perfectly mutter. And if you want to be machmir, then if you want to be really machmir, go ahead. Don't make Israeli salad on Shabbos at all, fine. But I think if you want to be machmir, it's enough to be machmir to just make salad la'alter, like somach l'suda, and then you have two strong tzadim to me, that it's mutter, number one, la'alter is a strong tzad, and number two, the chutzani is a das yachid here, and then you're okay. Kach nirel ani is daiti. Agav, I'll mention another machlokas, which is brought in this footnote 59, in the last two paragraphs. Okay, I already read you the early tzion, right? Just in the end of the second paragraph. He wrote, Misharagal after was dak dak ein tchina. Someone who cuts them so small that it's like grinding. Yachid Shabbos, which goes, you has to cut it extra big on Shabbos. Chita drops the salad share again last year, but for regular salad that we make, ain't an extra chita of dak dak, most of the karagal is not dak dak, not even chashim dak dak, not even borderline, is perfectly okay, says most poskim. But in the third and fourth paragraphs of footnote 59, he says, what about this is a famous machlokas? What about if you slice something in one or two dimensions, but not in three dimensions? Like, what if you make something very thin, but still long? Thin, but long. Like, let's say you take, if you want to, you could do this. You could take carrots or cucumbers and slice them into paper-thin slices. I mean, I'm sure there's some reason why people might want to do this, right? On the one hand, they're very, very, very small. But on the other hand, they're wide, right? So what about that case? So he quotes here, into strips. Ktsos HaShulchan says that you're a chayiv for tochein. Chin das rebel yashiv. Shein lachlo yirk letzuos dakos. From sheisur tochein nidum ofin yachzi v'yachzli yirkatz v'achot letzuos tochein dak dak. Says no. It used to be a long cucumber. Now it's a thin slice, even though it still has width. But it's a lot thinner than it was, and that's tochein. So rebel yashiv is machmer like tzos HaShulchan. There's a chash of tochein. And they base this, by the way, on Rashi. Rashi says when you make a reed basket, there's tochein because you take one grass, one reed, and you make it into many thin strips. That's tochein, even though it's not tiny particles. However, Me'idah said B'shut Igros Moshe, that I think was on the Makorah sheet, this Igros Moshe. Yes, Igros Moshe at the end of the Makorah sheet. Kasar she'isr t'chini b'yirakos v'dak sh'chod dak dak baruch v'rocha v'chein t'chinas kemach. Etc. And likewise, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Motu Lecho Dach Dach, as long as you... Right, says Rav Moshe, no. For foods, it's different. For materials used in manufacturing, so there's a different gender of tochein. Depends what you need for that kind of manufacturing. But for food, it's only called tochein if you're making it into tiny particles. Likewise, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's only tochein if you don't need to chew it anymore. Only tiny particles don't need to be chewed. And likewise, he quotes from Rav Karelis, the Chutzani is Mekel here, that if you cut very thin slices, that is no problem, because it's only tochein if you make them into tiny particles in all dimensions. So the Maisa, this is a machlokas, the Orcha Shabbos is machmer like Rebbe Yashiv, that even, well, just one second, the Rove Poskim, Rav Moshe, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, and even the Chutzani say that unless it's tiny particles, there's no tochein. However, the Orcha Shabbos is machmer, and it sounds from the Orcha Shabbos that he's davka machmer. After all, there's an in-between case. You can cut it one way, in one dimension, and it's still wide and tall. Or you can cut it in three dimensions, and it's a tiny piece. Then there's in-between, you can cut it in two dimensions. It's just a string. So the Orcha Shabbos sounds like, his understanding of Rebbe Yashiv, he's still machmer if you cut it two ways and it's like a string. You know how sometimes people do that? Like tzimis is sometimes like that. And we don't cook on Shabbos, but if you... Sometimes they have carrot salad like that. You ever see a carrot salad, which is like strings of carrot? Right? So the Orcha Shabbos is machmer in that case. It sounds like he's not machmer if you actually cut in one dimension and it's still wide in two dimensions, like a slice. But he is machmir. That's where Rashi sounds also like a slice is mutter, because he says parin silka is served, paris silka is okay. Paris means slices. So the Aruch HaShabbos sounds like he's machmir if you make strings. Not if you make slices, but if you make strings, he's machmir. Even though it seems pretty clear from Rav Karelitz and Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe that even strings are mutter, only particles are usser. But the Aruch HaShabbos is machmir on making strings. And therefore, even though that is not pashat, and it's not the majority opinion, it's probably kedai to be machmir on making thin strings, you know, at least if it's not la'alter.
How would this apply to string cheese, for example, where you take off a little slice and you...
String cheese? You tell me. Would this be a problem with string cheese?
Sheena gum.
No, that is not a sheena gum or string cheese with your hand. That's a normal thing. That's a middle case. That's like a knife. It's mutter because it's edible food that doesn't grow on the ground, so cheese is okay. So string cheese is no problem on Shabbos. String cheese is no problem on Shabbos. Okay, there, those are machmir on string cheese because of Bittul Torah. That might apply on Shabbos also. Your Talmud Chacham learns all week. But, you know, without not counting the Bittul Torah aspect, you can sit there for 20 minutes, right, stringing your cheese, which if you're, you know, all right. Anyway, but forgetting about the Torah for now, string cheese is no problem at all. The Kuli Alma, you could even take a knife and make string cheese into particles. Because it's cheese, and cheese doesn't grow on the ground, is already edible. Okay, so this is a very important footnote 59. Now, back to where we were. Let's continue in Se'if Yod Beis. Says, Sdorama. Likewise, you're not allowed to chop up a carob and figs for old people who don't have teeth. Okay, now if you remember the issue of the Magen Avraham at the end here, the Magen Avraham was medayik, it's also for old people, but mutter for young people. Why is it mutter for young people? Because it's edible for them. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, really, we should paskin that even if it's a fruit that grows on the ground, Oakland is mutter. So here is, I'll just make myself a little star. Magen Avraham says mutter, because he says it's usher for old people and mutter for young people. So he still admits the difference if it grows on the ground or not. He says mutter, but even if edible for most people, usher for those who can't eat it. Meaning even the Magen Avraham who says ochlin are mutter admits that ochlin that grow on the ground are not as mutter as ochlin that don't grow on the ground. Meat and cheese that don't grow on the ground, as long as most people eat it, you're even allowed to chop it for old people. Fruits that grow on the ground, you can chop it for the people who can eat it, but you can't chop it for the people who can't eat it. However, says the Mishnah Brura, Aser, nope, that's a bad diuk in the Ramah. The Ramah, and what's the Machlokas? The Machlokas is the Canaan. Says the Magen Avraham Davka, I know this is Chazar from last time, says the Mishnah Berurah Lav Davka, the Magen Avraham says, it's usher to chop boxer, that's Karev, that's Karuvin. It's usher to chop boxer for old people, but mutter to chop boxer for us. That shows that any edible food, even if it grows on the ground, is mutter to chop like Tosos and the Rambam. However, we don't pass like this, says the Mishnah Berurah, no, the Kenos Lav Davka, that was just the example that comes up a lot. A Zakein asked people to chop up boxer for him. But really, it's usher to chop for everyone, because we hold that even Ochlin is usher to chop. It's only mutter if it doesn't grow in the ground. Okay, that's Chazara from last time. Continuing, the Rambam says, V'davka peiros v'gadomel is usher. V'mutal far lech v'yadur golem, the whole kvar nitchan, ein lachosh, ein tochen achar tochen. Says the Rambam, this heter we already know, only peiros and stuff is usher. But you're allowed to crumble your bread for the chickens, make breadcrumbs for the chickens, or for yourself. Because ain tochin achar tochin, and again the Mishnah reminds us, but it's still the Bir Halacha rather reminds us, it's still usher to use a grater for it because that's an ovda dechol. Right, that's the Bir Halacha to wrestle with fire. Now here comes the last chiddush. And the Ramah, the kol zeh lo mayir lachu v'minyach. All the above five se'ifim are only for the minyak for achar zman. V'olim lo'ach lo miyad, if you're eating it right away, la'alter. Hakol shari nidav yabur lechol miyad d'shari kilos mishin yutas. But la'alter is mutter, like we said above, by borer, just like the head of la'alter for borer, the head of la'alter for token. This is not found anywhere in the Gemara. It's a chiddush of the Rosh and some Rishonim. That is heter of la'alter for toche. What's the svara? The svara is, you're allowed to eat your food in big pieces or small pieces. That's part of eating. It's obvious that that's part of eating. More obvious than everything else. I know there's no heter of la'alter for lisha, and there's no heter of la'alter for disha, and there's no heter of la'alter for a lot of things, for bishul. I know there's no heter of la'alter for those things, because that's not part of the way everyone always eats their food, but everyone eats their food with a knife and a fork and chops their food. Therefore, obviously, there's a heter of la'alter. That's the chiddush of the Rashba and many Rishonim. Chuvas HaRashba, Viharan, etc. This is very... well, first of all... one second. Says the Mishnah Berurah some details. So first of all, number three... La'alter. Says the Mishnah Berurah, la'alter means even for other people in that meal, not just for yourself, and even for animals, even for the birds. It would be okay to chop up the raw meat, dot, for the birds if they were eating a la'alter. Says the Mishnah Berurah, afilu la'achirim o lebehema. Right? As long as being eaten la'alter, it doesn't matter if it's you, if it's your friend, if it's your animals, there's a heter of la'alter as long as being eaten right away.
Why should that apply to zakenim?
What? And zakenim also, meaning when we said it's usher to chop for the zakenim, that's for later, but for la'alter it's mutter.
I would say this zakenim would not be able to eat this unless it was in the
pathogen. Great! So it's...
Yeah, I understand everything else that I would apply to that la'alter, but I wouldn't understand the zakenim. If they're a specific population, then it's not. They're not capable unless...
Say very, very pushed. Ready? Let's say you're eating a chicken, right? A polka. Could you eat that polka in one bite?
Probably.
Okay, let's say you're eating a steak. Could you eat the whole steak? No, you cannot eat a whole steak. You have to cut it in order to eat it. So that shows that even if you can't eat it without cutting it, cutting it is part of eating it. Now, I understand that you'll say the steak is different because I can't eat it. I just can't fit a big piece in my mouth at once. But the rashi would say, no, the logic is it doesn't matter. Even if you can't eat it yet, that's the way we always eat. We cut things that are too big to put in our mouth. So what's the difference between cutting pieces that are too big and cutting pieces that are too hard? Either way, it's mutter. That's the chiddush of the rashi. There's no iser all of tochen la'alter. No iser at all.
Even low? Like you're cutting and then you're being low ice.
Yeah, no problem. Cutting is the way people eat. That's Rama. The, the Mishnah Berurah points out that, of course, this heter of la'alter, one second. Did I make a mistake? Of course, this heter of la'alter would only apply to a knife. You couldn't use a kli amayuchad l'kach la'alter, and here he says you can't use a kli hamayuchad l'kach la'alter for two reasons. A, because of uvda d'chol, and B, hold on, who remembers the name of Borel Alter Manafo Kvara? Aser, no, but say better. Chayit. It's an issue d'oraisa. A kli amayuchad l'kach outweighs la'alter. So he says, la'alter is more chomer. If you have tochen after tochen, let's say you have bread that was already ground once, and you use a grater for it, that's only nishter rabban of the d'chol. Let's say you have cheese or meat and you use a grater, that's only nishter rabban of the d'chol. But la'alter, if you're grinding up buxer or vegetables to eat la'alter, and you use a real grinder or a grater, that's nishter d'oraisa. Because that makes it not the way of eating anymore. The way of eating is to use a knife, not to use a grinder. Okay, so that's especially common. And the truth is, really, the Mishnah Berurah was only makar and a hakmesser. he wasn't really machber and a hakmesser when it came to bread and meat. He was really machber and a hakmesser when it comes to la'alter. Because by la'alter, if you use a klim yuchlekach, it's not lov d'chol. It's really a chash of a malacha. Because it makes it work-like instead of eating-like. That's why he's machber even on a hakmesser. So here, just about la'alter. La'alter, chinav lov d'chol, and if the only heter is la'alter, it's not only ovdin dechol, but malacha deoraisa. Why? Because just like in borer. Yeah, borer is part of eating. You pick things and eat them. But if you use a special professional kli that makes it part of working, like when in tochen, yeah, you cut your food and eat it. But if you use a professional kli, that makes it part of working. And that's why, the truth is, I don't think the Mishnah Berurah, I don't think, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't sound like you're doing machber and a hakmesser for cheese and bread and meat. Because that's only chashav ovdin d'chol, but it sounds like he's only machber and a hakmesser for la'alter, because la'alter is a chashav l'alcha d'oraisa. He doesn't say explicitly, but that's what it sounds like. Now, just give me half a second. Okay, halacha l'maisa, do we hold the heter of la'alter or not? If we hold the heter of la'alter, that's a great heter. So, Rashba and the Ran say Mutter and the Ramah. The Beis Yosef, though, said, even if it makes out la'alter, you should make it big pieces. He was not willing to rely on it, Lamaisa. Beis Yosef, and so says the Mishnah Berurah, in Sifkatan and Hey, V'yesh mefak b'kim al heter zeh, v'gam Beis Yosef kasav, yizor lachto chins gedolos k'tas. Therefore, many achronim wrote that it's nachon to cut big pieces and not rely on the heter of the altar. Mikol mokom, anodin yesh lo amashe yismochu. So this is one approach. Two approach is the Mishnah Berurah. Al pi the Beis Yosef, mutter me'ikar hadin. If someone does it, they have a mashi yismoch. Meaning, even if someone dices things very finely with altar, you don't have to say anything. Ein limchos biyadam. I mean, unless they want to learn more about halachas Shabbos and they're interested, but you don't have to correct them. However, but nachon to be nizer. The third opinion is the Chazon Ish, quoting all the modern day achronim, the Chazon Ish says that Chazon Ish says Asur Legamrei. He says no, the Rashba was matur, but no Risha, every single other Risha in the diet is against the Rashba. No one discussed it explicitly. Says, since all the other Shom don't discuss it explicitly, they all have cases which sound like it's la'alter, and yet they say it's mutter for a different reason. It's a matter that every Yishun disagreed with the Rashba, he even thinks the Ran disagreed with the Rashba, even though the Beis Yosef quoted him as agreeing. He says, no, he's just quoting the Rashba as a matter of interest, but he wasn't agreeing with him. The Chazon Ish says, it's not even a Snif L'Hakel, it's Asher L'Gamrei, it's a Das Yachid, that's Nidche. Says Rav Moshe, the long one I put on the sheet here, he discusses two issues. The first one, I believe, is the issue of la'alter, and he says, even though the Milan of Rome quoted the Shulchan Aruch who questioned this heter, Beis Yosef says better to be nizher. However, all the poskim are matter, and therefore he says the Chazon Ish is a das yochid and against the minhag for a baal nefesh you should be machmir, but letzorech it's mutter. So. Says the Igros Moshe, it's mutter. It's absolutely mutter. The minig is la'hakel. In Europe, everyone chopped very finely la'alter. Everyone did whatever they want la'alter. Not chasr shalom with the grater. But everyone did whatever they want with an altar and with la'alter, and that's the Rosh Hashanah, that's the Mishmur, that's all the poskin. The Chazon Ish is the Das Yachid. He said totally mutter. But it's better to be machmir if they're not sort of gadol, if you're a baal nefesh or, you know. And I think the minig olam is like the, not like the Ramah, and not like the Chazon Ish, like the Mishnah Berurah. The minigolem is that the ikar din, it's mutter even to chop vegetables, whether they're edible or not, whether they grew in the ground or not, whether they're already ground once or not, la'alter, as long as you don't use a kli miyuchad l'kach. However, it's better to be macher, and therefore all the Maimonides' farms say that it's preferable to be macher, and even la'alter, cut in big pieces. What do big pieces mean? So I said, it's enough to cut our regular salad. That's enough big pieces, big enough pieces, lani is daiti, to be macher to cut la'alter. That counts as big pieces. And even if chas v'shalom, you're wrong, and you really cut into small pieces, it's okay, because the ikar din, it's much of la'alter to cut in small pieces, too. So it's not a big deal. Okay, we just have one or two more issues to mention. The two last issues I want to mention are, what about, this is the second half of that longer motion that was on the Makorah sheet, right? What about mashing things, but not grinding them? What do I mean? What if you want to make mashed potatoes? Mashed potatoes will seem might be another tzadah hakel. What if you want to make, or better yet, what if you want to make guacamole? How do you make guacamole? You take an avocado and you mush it, right? Or you want to take a banana and mush it to feed a, I mean, that's probably not considered desirable by adults, but if you want to feed a baby banana, how do you feed a baby banana? You mush it, right? Or some other fruits. You might take other fruits and mush them for a baby, right? So what about mushing things? On the one hand, you're breaking down a solid, so maybe it's like tochen. On the other hand, what are you not doing? You're not making it into little pieces. It's still one piece, right? If you make guacamole, it's still one piece. It's just a mushy, loose piece instead of a hard, solid piece. If you mush a banana, it's still one piece. It's just a mushy, soft, runny piece instead of a firm piece. Now, it depends how you look at it. You could look at it as, no, I've made it into many pieces. They're just stuck together. But lemaisa, you don't see separate pieces when you mush things. Same for mashed potatoes, though. We'll see that might be a little different, right? When you make mashed potatoes, you're not making it into little pieces. You're making it into... mush. So is that in the realm of tochen in the first place? Or is that not even the realm of tochen? So...
Is that from a molded also?
No, because it's still solid. It's going from solid to solid. You're not liquefying it.
But you're changing the state.
No, it's still called solid. Just two versions of solid. That might have to do... Okay, so first of all, this is machlokes between who and who? The Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe. Right? What about... Would this be called mashing? What do you call it?
Shmushing.
What? Right? Me'icha. We'll call it mashing. I hope that's a good word, so we can look it up. Says the Chazon Ish. It's Bechlal Tochen. And says the Igros Moshe. Eino Tochen Klal. I mean, it's not a matter of a hetter. Well, it's not a pa'ula of Tochen, because Tochen only means you start with one piece and you end up with many pieces. Here, you're ending up with one piece, just a mushy piece. Chazon Ish says this is tochen. You're grinding into little pieces, just since there's a lot of moisture, they stick together. The Chazon Ish's big raya is from the Tosefta that says, Ein Meraskin. Remember the Magen Avraham pointed out, the Tosefta said Meraskin. Ein Meraskin is a grovus, a sacharuvan, if they have a kingdom. Right? You're not allowed to smush, resuk. Remember resuk hasheleg? That was like liquefying. You're not allowed to smush the Charuvin, the buxer, and the figs, and for the old people. So that proves smushing is usher. This, however, seems to be a machlokas, excuse me, between the Ramah and the Magen Avraham. How did the Ramah quote the Tosefta of Risuk? What word did he use?
Raskin?
No, look at Yud Beis. Mechatkin. He translated Risuk as cutting. Says the Magen Avraham, oh, you foolish Ramah. Don't you know Risuk is smushing, not cutting? Risuk is pounding, not cutting. The Ramah was not foolish. The Ramah was following Rashi. Rashi and Kuf Mem Hei, no, Kuf Nun Hei Amen Aleph. Let me read you a Rashi. Says,
Ein Meraskin, Ein Mechatchen.
Is that by the Shelley?
No, this is by the Cheruvim, Lefnei Behemah. The Tosefta discusses old people, the Mishnah discusses Behemah. So Rashi Nar Mas says Meraskin means cutting. Cutting is what's Asur. Nothing that's smushing. The Magen Avraham says, no, Meraskin means pounding. But even in the Magen Avraham, there are two ways to interpret pounding. It says for Moshe, what happens when you pound boxer? It breaks into little pieces. It doesn't become a mush. So says for Moshe, no, according to the Ramban, Rashi, Meraskin means cut, chopping. And even according to the Magen Avraham, it means pounding. It's because when you pound it, it breaks into little pieces. Says the Chazon Ish, no, I hold it means pounding. And I think when you pound boxer, it doesn't break into little pieces. It becomes a mush. Now, I would, if I imagine pounding boxer, I bet it would break into little pieces, but it probably depends on the moisture, maybe. They would soak it beforehand, who knows? Meaning, I'm sure it all depends, like, what you do with it first. So that's the fundamental machlokas about meraskin. If you say meraskin, Rashi and the Ramah say it means mechatchin. That leads to the Igros Moshe. If you say, like, the Magen Avraham, that it means coaching, you pound it, then it could go either way. Says Ramosha, the Magen Avraham also agrees with me. He means you pound it, and some things, when you pound them, turn into little pieces. Like when you pound pepper, it turns into little pieces, right? When you pound wheat, it turns into little pieces. Not only you grind it, if you pound it, it also turns into little pieces. It all depends what kind of material it is. These are dry figs and dry boxer, which turn into little pieces when you pound. Hard, meaning things that are hard, turn into little pieces when you pound them. Chazanish says, no, they're soft things. They turn into a mush when you pound them. Okay, it all depends. Meaning, it's hard for us to, I mean, someone could do some research, but we can't know Stam, because we don't know exactly how they used it in their days. You have to go do some historical research in the ancient cookbooks.
Did they have different dried figs than we do?
No, but there's different levels of drying. Right? And in who knows, you know, and you could say even if something's dry, maybe they soaked it first. Even if it's moist, maybe they toasted it first. Like, you don't know for sure how they did these things. According to Rav Moshe. Right. According to Rav Moshe, because I think if you, I mean, you have to try it, but I imagine you pound our figs, they stay a mush. But for sure, avocado and bananas stay a mush when you pound them. So, says, so this is a fundamental machlokas. It's not mefurish anywhere in the, meaning the classic Rishon HaKronim don't talk about it. Why? Chazanish says, well, because it's obviously was tochen. What do they need to talk about? Rosh says, it's obviously not tochen. You're not making little pieces. What is there to talk about? Okay, that's always tricky, but everyone agrees it's obvious. They just argue which way it was obvious. It makes it clear that we're missing some part of the Masorah there. Okay, that happens. Lemaisa, this is a big machlokas, says Rav Moshe, the Chazon Ish is completely wrong. Says Rav Moshe, you want to mash a banana? It is for sure mutter, because A, la'alter is really mutter. And it's just a chomer to do with la'alter. And people only mash bananas la'alter. Whoever mashes a banana for later in the day. Right? And B, even if it's not la'alter, it's mutter, because mashing is not tochen, it's not one of the 39 malachos. Mashing is an action that's not any of the 39 malachos. I don't see little pieces. How can you call that tochen? However, says Rav Moshe in the end, he says, but you know what? Since it's easy to be machmer for the Chazon Ish, why is it easy to be machmer for the Chazon Ish? Because just use the handle of your fork or spoon. Right? And that's a shino, and that makes it mutter even if it is tochen. So Rav Moshe says, since it's easy to be machmer for the Chazon Ish, it's nice to be machmer for the Chazon Ish. So Lamaisa, even Rav Moshe, in his great humility, the Ish Moshe Anav Ma'od, says that Lamaisa, the Chazon Ish, is dead wrong. But he's dead wrong for two reasons. The Chazon Ish says that Issa Doraisa, to mush a banana, even to feed your baby right away. But she says, no, it's heter gomer la'alter. And even if it's not la'alter, it's heter gomer, because this is not a pu'ula of tochen. However, says Rav Moshe, since it's easy enough to take the Chazon Ish into account, what does he say? The hine gam Chazon Ish matir b'shinoi, like a kata dekafu mazlek, like the handle. Never l'maisem esher lishlo she'a tov latinokos gam b'kata tov lasos kein lotzeis gam shit the Chazon Ish. If you can do it with a shinoi, it's good to be yotzei also the Chazon Ish. Okay, good to be yotzei the Chazon Ish if you can do it with a shinoi, just as a chumra to be yotzei the just as a chumra to be yotzei the Chazon Ish. But if it's a pain,
then you don't have to worry about it. So Lamaisa, therefore, says Rav Moshe, kedai to be makar chazanish, because it's not that hard to mash a banana. The real way to mash a banana is probably with a fork, right? Then you get the tines of the fork. But if it's not hard, if it's easy to mash a banana with the handle of the fork instead of the tines of the fork, then you should. If you say, no, I'm nervous about that, you know, I think maybe there'll still be big pieces that'll be unpleasant and maybe even dangerous for my kid, then he says, you don't have to be makar chazanish. But if it's easy, you should be makar chazanish. This applies to making guacamole also, right? What if you want to make guacamole? How do you mush your avocado? So, Parter Moshe, you mush the avocado wherever you want. Meaning, you never use a clean yuchel kach, so that's not an issue. Right? You usually use a fork. Anyone here ever made guacamole? On any day of the week, you use a fork to mush the avocado?
Yeah.
Okay, use a fork to mush the avocado. However, if you want to make guacamole on Shabbos, and you can do it using the handle of the fork instead of the tines of the fork, and it's not so hard, then you might as well be machmer for the chazanish. This also comes up in not just making guacamole. What if you want to spread avocado on your challah, right? At Shal Shittis, my family, they always like to spread avocado on their challah. Or matzah, it's also good. But now, that's probably very hard to do with the handle of a fork. Like, how do you spread avocado? You, like, take your knife, take, like, a little piece, and then smear it, right, on the bread. It's probably hard to do that, bashinoi, because, like, how are you going to get it smeared on your bread, right? I don't even know if you can smear it on your bread properly, bashinoi, can you? Because, like, you need the proper blade in order to get it smeared. So I think in that case, Rav Moshe would say that you can be mekel and not worry about the chazanish. Certainly, if you're doing it la'alter, you have two reasons that it's mutter. A, Rav Moshe says the real halacha is that it's not tochen at all. And even if it is tochen, the ikar din that it's mutter la'alter. And therefore, definitely, if you want to be mekel, you can be mekel. But if it's easy to be machmer, then it's kedai to be machmer.
So this chumra is A, the shinoi, B, the la'alter. Both of them?
I think you'd be makel just with the shinoi. It's just that I think you'd be makel just with the shinoi. Just the shinoi would be enough.
The altar may not be enough because if you really hold it to chazanish, then.
Yeah, and even the Mishnah Berurah admits that Beis Yosef and the Mishnah Berurah prefer not relying on the altar. I mean, even Rav Moshe says the altar is not like. It's not usher, but it's not like mahadrid, right? It's not for Ben Torah. Or he says only not for Baal Nefesh. But the Mishnah Berurah really says it's not. Proper bechlal.
Who's the Baal Nefesh?
Yeah, that's unclear. The Baal Nefesh, for the Mishnah Berurah, doesn't mean someone in the highest madriga. But nonetheless, the Yosef and the Mishnah Berurah said, even if you're not Baal Nefesh, it's not even Machmer. So, Seder. And again, when Rosh talks about Baal Nefesh, he usually just means, it sounds like he means like a yeshiva guy. It doesn't sound like he means a like Tzadik Hador. Although it's hard to tell. Different people mean different things about Baal Nefesh. I remember when I went to yeshiva, the family Rosh Hashiva of Gusher Hamital, used to yell at guys whenever they did anything that was like a chumrah for Baal Nefesh. He'd say, you think you're a Baal Nefesh? You don't know what a Baal Nefesh is. And he would yell at guys whenever they did, they were machmer like a Baal Nefesh. Okay, but I think in most Hashivas that's not the Rosh Hashiva. The last thing I wanted to mention was a diuk that the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa makes from the Mechaber at the end of Shin Chav Aleph. We already learned the Ramah at the end of Shin Chav Aleph. Says the Mechaber at the end of Shin Chav Aleph, Shum Bolser Melilo Shariska Meir Shabbos. If you have this grapes or garlic or grains that you already crushed them on Friday, remember, we learned this in terms of schita. Mishmur said we're talking about squishing the juices out of them, and they have juices. If they were already broken but weren't crushed yet, you're not allowed to crush them on Shabbos. In Mishmur said schita, but they were crushed, they just weren't pulverized. Mutar ligmor b'Shabbos, you can finish on Shabbos. Fikach mutar ligmor schikas harifos be'etz parah. Therefore, this refos, this like stew they type of thing they made, you're allowed to finish pulverizing it with a wooden spoon with Bikdera, b'Shabbos, and the pot on Shabbos. Actually, after you take it off the fire, not on the fire, because that's a chumrah of Hagasa, but off the fire. So, the question is exactly what's going on here, right? I mean, what are you doing here when you are gomer shchikas harifos? So the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa understands that you might be doing a little toching here. You might be doing a little toching here. And, so why is it mutter? Certainly according to Chazan Ish that this is toching. You know, according to Chazan Ish, even if it doesn't break into little pieces, even if it's just mush, that's toching. Why is it mutter? So, understand that, according to Shmir Shabbos Kochasa here, once something is cooked and softened by cooking, now there's no problem with toching anymore. And therefore, mashed potatoes, well, here it says Mizrachu Ma'od. So mashed potatoes are a little tricky because they're really not so soft. As a matter of fact,
they have clumps.
No, I mean when you first mash them. Mm-hmm. Like when you cook potatoes, they're still pretty hard. So that's a little tricky. But certainly most foods, like says the Shabbos Kochasa, you don't have to worry about like spreading jam, that maybe there's like little pieces of berries in the jam that you're now smushing, according to the Chazon Ish, and you don't have to worry about mixing up your food very well, like a stew very well, or you know, pulverizing a cholent or anything like that, because once it's already so cooked and so soft, it's not a problem toching anymore. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman based on this someplace. Maybe it's in the footnote here.
What about tuna?
Tuna is like meat, so tuna is fine unless you have a grater, unless you use a clean miyuchad lekach. there it is. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman in Perek Vav, Sif Zayin, Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, if you have a banana or an avocado that's really soft, then it's no problem, even according to the Chazon Ish, to shmir it. Because if it's so soft, then there's no need of tchina anymore. What is so soft mean? So soft means if you pick up one half, let's say you peel the banana, you pick up one half, you won't get the whole banana. So it's so soft that it doesn't stick together. Or if you peel the avocado, it's so soft that if you pick up one end, the other end will fall out of your hand, then that's for sure mufka from the getter of toching. Okay.
I think Shmir Shabbos said that as, didn't he use the phrase like, it's like already tachun?
Yes. It's as if, okay. I think that's all we have to say about tochen, if there's not any other questions.
Yeah.
Does someone
have a
picture? And then send it to,
discussing tochen for non-food items?
Aha, so, okay, let's briefly mention tochen for non-food items. The Mishnah Berurah in, like, Mem Hei or something, mentions all kinds. Tochen does apply to non-food. That's very clear. If you grate, let's say you sand wood, right, that's toching. And if you do it because you want the sawdust, then that's toching doraisa, right? That's not to go for toching doraisa. If you file metal or pottery or other things, right, that's the Mishnah Berurah here. He says in, which sivkatan is it? Where am I? Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I think it's the end of Mem Hei, I seem to recall. Is that true? Or am I making that up? No, there it is. He says all kinds of example. If you file down a piece of wood, or a clod of dirt, or metal, basically anything is toching. Likewise, he says, if you take a non-food item and you just chop it into thin slices that are useful, or thin strings that are useful, that's also lekuli alma, that's toching. So that's what he says. Even our most Rosh Hashanah admit, since that's the way to use those things, that's called toching, even though it's not tiny particles. So you do have to be very careful with this. Did this really come up much? I mean, none of us would file things on Shabbos. When did this come up? You know when this comes up? Turn to, because, like, I'm trying to think of, like, when this would, like, are you going to make confetti? If you make confetti on Shabbos, that's probably an issue of toching. But, like, no one would make confetti on Shabbos or start filing or sanding wood or, you know, doing things like this on Shabbos.
What about, like, ripping apart, one time, like, cotton balls? Or, like, the cotton, like, would you have, like, cotton ball material?
I think that's in token after token, because a cotton ball, you like, it's made of different fibers of cotton. I don't think that's toking.
Now, I don't know if it's much or lechachila to rip up the cotton ball, meaning maybe that's breaking a kli. Maybe it could be a chash of soser. I don't know if it's really a kli. I don't know if it's chashivas of a kli. What?
Biting your nails?
Yeah, maybe something. What? No. No. The only thing I think of, if you look, if you want to look for a second in Shin Beis, if Zion says... Techal Bigdob, if you have mud on your clothing, dried mud on your clothing, if you have wet mud on your clothing, then you're not going to clean it by rubbing it. You're just going to make it more dirty. But if you have dried mud on your clothing, you can rub it from the inside because it doesn't look like leban, but you can't rub it from the outside because that seems to be drabon like leban, and you can scratch it with your fingernail. The yesh mefarshin, the honey nili lach. Some people say that's only if it's a little moist. Avol yavish, if it's really hard mud. Asur davi tochein. It's asur to scrape hard mud off your clothing, because that is tochein, says the yesh omrin. And says the, that's shin beis of zayin, you just want a practical example. And says the, implies the Mishnah Berura, that we would be machmer on that, and only mekel al yidei yakum. So we are machmer, that's scraping off, you know, because when you scrape off dried mud, you make it into tiny, tiny particles, is usher because of tochein. Rabbi Akiva Eger there, someplace on this page, if I recall correctly, asks, good, that's Rabbi Akiva Eger's question. Where's Rabbi Akiva Eger? Oh, I think he goes on to the next page. But I really thought he asked this question. No? Am I losing my mind? I can't even find the continuation of Riki Vager. Here it is. Whoa, it's three pages later. He says, L'chor yesh ladun. That ain't token achar token. So Riki Vager asked the question, what about ain't token achar token? Right? Why is it us? I mean, the mud was made of a little piece of dirt that got wet and came together, right? What about ain't token achar token? You could get the same in the Shabru when he talked about a clot of dirt that you... So what about in token after token? That is a great question. What happened to ein token after token here? It's very unclear. The
because you didn't grind it up, namely, meaning by bread, I grind the wheat, it comes to this, and then I make it back with my mud. It just was that. So there's no like initial token.
Right. So Lemaisa, this is a big question. Rekid Eger didn't have an answer to it. Some people want to say that, only by foods we say in tochen achar tochen, but by non-foods, there is tochen achar tochen. If you look at Barry Willig, in his Sefer, he has a big article where he goes in not that direction, but then it gets much, much more complicated. So we'll leave this as a bit of a tzor Ian for now. In maybe some acronyms say that, in non-foods, you have to be kosher for tochen achar tochen, but it is a... big question mark, my understanding that the Urcha Shabbos wants to say that no, mud, you don't even see pieces of dirt in it anymore, so then there would be no heter being token after token. That's also a big finish. So that's a big, big, big mystery, Rabbi Kiva Eger's question.
When
are we going to get to Lush? Yeah.
Do we treat the Xero of grinding of pig medicine because they grind it?
Uh-huh.
Do we treat that like food or non-food items? And like,
you mean, can you regrind the medicine?
Yeah.
So the poskim write that even though the whole reason for the issue of medicine was because they ground roots to make medicine, there's still people like that nowadays. You know, when I was born, there weren't. But nowadays, like, a lot of people are into these natural things and, like, these traditional medicines, etc. And there are lots of people everywhere who, like, they don't hold from, like, the modern doctors and science and stuff like that. But they grind roots for you on the spot and make medicines in the old-fashioned way. So people still do this nowadays. Question is, what if they already ground all the roots or chemicals or antibiotics or made them into a pill? Can you regrind the pill on Shabbos? Right? So I saw in the Urcha Shabbos, and I think the Shmir Shabbos says it also, if I'm not mistaken. Here it is. Says the Urcha Shabbos and the Shmir Shabbos Kuchasa. The Shmir Shabbos Kuchasa is Perik Vav Halachiyot Aleph. You're allowed to grind up a pill on Shabbos if necessary, because ain't tochen achar tochen. And the pill was already made of small pieces, they just cooked together. Again, exactly why it's mutter to regrind a pill, but not to regrind
dried mud, is still a bit of a mystery, and unless you say it's a pill you eat and mud you don't, which is, you know, borderline.
Would something that's not Vidulai Karta therefore be a problem? Like animal, for example, taking on Shabbos, because it's not in the gather of Akila or of Vidulai Karta?
I'm not sure. Meaning, dirt is not Gidulei Karka, and yet it's still usur to grind on Shabbos according to the Yesh Omer that we passed like at Simchin Beis. It's Karka. I don't know if it's Gidulei Karka. Okay, Yesh Lion.
We're really reminding Karka from...
Normally, Karka is not Gidulei Karka. That's the normal assumption. Okay. Rafi, you got a good picture? Great.
Wait, so, just to clarify,
yeah.
In these cases, would it fall under Gidulei Karka? Like, how does it... Why should that be a problem of tofen?
What? The pill?
Medicines that aren't...
Because it was already ground once.
Medicines that don't fall under Gidulei Karka.
Doesn't matter. Ein tofen achar tofen is even for bread.
That's because it comes from the ground originally. No?
I know. So if it's mutter for bread, kolshkin is mutter for things that don't come from the ground, which are more makel. So I don't know if pills come from the ground or not. Probably each pill has different ingredients in it.
My question is, the zigzera of taking medicine on Shabbos comes to include things that...
I see what you're saying. The gzera of when Shabbos is across the board, it comes to include even if you don't use medicines at all. Even just working out to sweat is also Mishum Rafu on Shabbos, even though it doesn't use medicines at all. They made a very general gzera.
The gzera wasn't because of Tochen?
It was, but they extended to all Rafu, even if it doesn't involve medicine. That's the answer to your question. They made a very broad gzera. Okay. Nowadays, we have a lot of kulas in it, meaning, you know, we're pretty makel in the Xeru Rafua nowadays, for various reasons, mostly probably because still in, you know, at least when I was a kid, no one actually grinds things nowadays. For Rafua drugstores, they never actually grind up herbs. but that's probably for night Seder, we'll leave that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Lush. So, we don't have much time, but the Gemara discusses Lush in two sugyas and brings out a machlok between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi of Rebbe Yehuda, which is very, very crucial. What's the machlok is Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi of Rebbe Yehuda about? It's about... What's the machlok between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi of Rebbe Yehuda? Are people in the middle of the Lush Makoros, or did they just finish the Tofen Makoros? Okay, then we won't start Lush today. Okay, then Amir Tashem on Tuesday. Today's Sunday, right? The Lush Makoros, hopefully you saw them. They're in the box. So then we will leave that for Tuesday. And I'll just mention briefly in terms of Refu on Shabbos, we will deal with it in a night Seder, but... There are, the Ketos HaShulchan brings a number of Achronim who say that maybe nowadays, and the reason for the Gzeirat Tochen doesn't apply because, you know, at least when I was a kid, like no one actually ground roots. We used like scientific medicines, which didn't involve grinding roots. And even nowadays, I think, in most places and in most circles, they use modern medicines. So at least if you're not a granola type, then no one grinds roots anymore. So maybe the Gzera shouldn't apply. There were those who wanted to time it this way. Says that Sis Eliezer, quoting the Ketos HaShulchan, that we're not Mekel based on that, because once Chazal made Gzera, we keep that Gzera, right? And therefore we don't matter Refu on Shabbos. However, the Minag among the Rabbanim, from what I've seen nowadays, is that since there's a tzad to say the Gzera doesn't apply at all nowadays, therefore we try to be as Mekel as we can in interpreting the contours of the Gzera. And therefore, the minig nowadays is that since we have a precedent in the poskim, it's a machlok's a poskim, but we paskin in the end that if someone's really sick, not just a meikosh, not just doesn't feel well, they're really sick, that they're allowed to do refu on Shabbos, because Chazal only made the gzera people who just had a meikosh, who were just not feeling well. But if someone's mamish sick, then they wouldn't make a gzera on them, because if they're mamish sick, we have to have more kulas. And therefore, the minig nowadays is that since if someone's mamish sick, the gzera doesn't apply. And it's a big question of interpretation of who's mamish sick and who just doesn't feel well. Because we say that anyone who has to, who's lying in bed is mamish sick. So what's lying in bed? Meaning, even if they're not lying in bed, maybe they should be lying in bed. Or even if they're not lying in bed, but if they can't function, that counts as lying in bed. So the minhag nowadays among the rabbanim is that if someone just really doesn't feel well to the extent that yesh makom to say that they're really sick and they're not functioning or they should be in bed, to be makel on the gzeira of refuah, based on the fact that yesh omer shouldn't apply nowadays anyway. That's my personal minhag, is that for myself, I try to put myself in the days of Chazal and say, boy, if I'm not like mamish, like really sick, like, you know, calling the doctor to come pay a house call, I shouldn't take medicine. But when other people ask me shailas, I try to be very makel if I see that they don't want to be so machmir. And that you know, there's a tzad to say that they are really don't feel well and it's not just stam like a headache, then I try to be makel for them. B'tzeiruf, you know, the Tzitz Eliezer says, B'tzeiruf, the Tzosel Shulchan says, that maybe doesn't apply nowadays anyway. So we try to be as makel as possible for people, especially since I found that nowadays is a very hard gzera for people to keep. Definitely, I think the proper adracha is, at least for other people, for yourself, you have to be extra makel. To try and be as makel as you can with that gzera, okay, without getting into all the details. That's just one brief ha'ara. If you want, I'll tell you exactly where to look up from a course I just mentioned. I don't remember the exact seven numbers. Baal Peh. Okay.
Coming here.